Grace and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a bit of an interesting sermon, and I apologize. The title was not changed from 2 years ago in the bulletin. It's a bit of an interesting sermon because this evening we're actually kicking off two different sermon series simultaneously. For our midweek worship services during Lent, Pastor Grimm and I are kind of playing a game of homiletical ping pong, where I preach here 1 week and he preaches there at the same time, and then we flip-flop every week going forward. And we are preaching on the gospel for us, how it is that God gives us the good news of Jesus Christ. This involves the means of grace, word, and sacrament, as well as the means of mutual consolation, that is, gathering together as fellow believers in and out of worship. The Sundays between now and Easter, as well as all of Holy Week, we will study spiritual disciplines. During the period of Lent, many people engage in different spiritual disciplines, such as fasting, almsgiving, and prayer, just the ones from our gospel reading tonight, as a way to turn their hearts and minds toward Christ in preparation for the celebration of his death and resurrection on Easter. So, how is it that these two themes come together? Repentance and confession. Repentance and the associated confession of sins is an important spiritual discipline, one which we do well to engage in on a regular basis because it opens us up and prepares us to receive God's gifts. But then the second part of this process is when God responds to us with his gospel, the gospel for us, which is absolution or forgiveness. And so repentance starts with being convicted of your sins. In our psalm that we read at the beginning of worship, we actually see that as a result of David's sin. For all here David is, he is a good, noble king, but he kind of had a thing for the ladies. And that kind of led him to sleep with the wife of one of his mighty men. Now, adultery for David leads to lying, and from lying it leads to murder. In the end, no one really knew for certain what had happened, whose child was being born, but God knew. And therefore, he sent the prophet Nathan to confront David with his sins. Nathan told David a story about a rich man with a lot of sheep and a poor man with a single ewe lamb, and he uses this story to convict David. David had been given so much, and yet he stole from his poor neighbor. And so David is convicted by this, and his response as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And so the prophet responds, "You are the man." David is convicted by his own words. And when David has been convicted by his words, he immediately turns in repentance to God. God, be merciful to me. And he says, I have sinned against the Lord. And so the repentance leads to confession, and confessing his sins leads to absolution. That David has confessed his sins, and the prophet responds, you will not die. Your sin is forgiven. So this same process actually plays out within us every time that we sin. After committing a sin, we are convicted of the sin. Sometimes the conviction of the sin happens internally. You know, I really shouldn't have cheated on my taxes this year. Or, you know, I probably shouldn't have taken that candy bar. Sometimes, when we are so ingrained in our sins, the convicting of our sins happens through messengers that God sends us to convict us of our sins. But regardless, either way, the end result is the same. As David says in Psalm 32, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. One way or another, we are convicted of our sins and brought to the point of repentance. And so when we repent of our sins, we immediately turn to God and we confess our sins, pleading with him for forgiveness. And when we confess our sins, God speaks to us his absolution. The soothing words, the Lord also has put away your sin, you shall not die. Or again, as the Apostle John writes in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are forgiven not because of anything we do, but because of what Christ has done for us. We have confession and absolution in worship just about every week. This service we opened with confession and absolution as well. But sometimes the corporate confession and absolution might not do it. It might not be enough, or it might not feel enough for you. You may feel that some of your sins just plain cannot be forgiven. Now, that doesn't mean that God does not forgive it. It means that there is doubt, that there is doubt in your heart as to whether or not the sin can be forgiven. There's a dichotomy that the Catholic Church, more the Catholic Church talks about between mortal sins and venial sins. Venial sins are the simple little things that don't put your salvation at risk, while mortal sins are the big things that do. And so, a simple white lie, yes, children, there is a Santa Claus, is a little sin. Whereas killing someone would be a mortal sin. Now, in a Lutheran understanding, it doesn't quite work like that. Any sin is venial because they can all be forgiven. Murder can be forgiven just as much as the lie. But at the same time, any sin can be a mortal sin because any sin can put up a barrier in your faith between you and God. And so the lie can be a mortal sin where the murder was venial. The lie can set up a barrier between you and God just as easily as anything else. And that barrier is the phrase, I can't be forgiven for this. As soon as that comes, that is putting a barrier between you and God that you don't feel God's forgiveness. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven by God, but there are plenty of sins that can get you to reject God's forgiveness. And that's actually part of Satan's work. His biggest work is that he first lures you into committing a sin, and then he rubs your face in it over and over again to remind you that you sinned. You're standing in the store and, you know, I think it's okay if you take that candy bar. And as soon as it happens, you know, you really shouldn't have taken that candy bar. You are such a horrible person for taking that candy bar without paying for it. You are a thief. That is Satan's work. And that is why sins that you thought you had repented and been forgiven for years ago can suddenly be brought back again as if they only happened yesterday. Because Satan loves to use these sins. He loves to use your sins to cast doubts on God's forgiveness. And so if you find yourself to be questioning God's forgiveness, whether it's for a big sin or a little sin or anything in between, what can you do? The reason your sin has so much power over you is precisely because it is silent. In Psalm 32, David says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. When he was quiet, Satan was the only voice he heard." When he was silent and hiding his sins, when he was trying to cover up his sin with Bathsheba, Satan's voice was the only one in his heart. Or in Proverbs 28, David's son Solomon says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." That is the difference between silent sin and confessing sin. Sometimes it helps to actually speak that sin out loud and to get that off your chest and to hear God's forgiveness in a different format specifically for that specific sin. You can receive absolution from God directly when you confess your sins directly to God, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, in Luther's evening prayer, you are specifically confessing your sins and receiving God's forgiveness. And for a lot of sins, that's enough. You can also receive absolution in worship when I pronounce it to everyone, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That is just as valid as forgiveness directly from God or anyone else. And you can also receive absolution from your neighbor that you sinned against when you confess directly to him. And so if you sin against your spouse and you confess your sins to your spouse can forgive you. But you can also receive absolution directly from the pastor personally, one-on-one. When you come to me and confess a specific sin that is bothering you, it's okay. I will never divulge any confessions that are confessed to me, and in fact, I cannot by my ordination vows. But when you confess your sins, I will speak to you God's word to comfort you in your sins, that God forgives your sins. And I will speak the absolution directly to you that I forgive you all your sins in the name of Christ. And you can be certain that this absolution comes directly from God himself. The words "in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ" show it is Christ's forgiveness that he gives to us through the means of a pastor. In John 20, Jesus breathed on his disciples and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." By those words, we believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and promise to do better, that is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. We know God's forgiveness is there. So during this Lenten season, I encourage you to avail yourself of every opportunity for repentance and for confession. These opportunities come in many different forms and at many different times. Every Sunday, our worship opens with confession and absolution. You may notice that I actually leave a period of silence before starting the confession. And during that period, I would encourage you to think about all the sins you have committed in the last week, and particularly the ones that weigh on your heart. Think about them and give them to God. If nothing comes to mind, you can also do what I like to do and recite the Ten Commandments to yourself, which you'll find on page 264 in the hymnal. And then after confessing our sins, you will hear the relieving words of absolution in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You can also confess your sins directly to God every time you pray, whether using the Lord's Prayer, Luther's Evening Prayer, or your own prayer that you pray from your heart. Pray for God's forgiveness and then think on God's actions, the death of Jesus that pays for our sins, the refreshing baptismal water that washes away our sins, the meal by which God gives us the forgiveness of sins, as well as God's words of forgiveness that we read throughout Scripture. If there is some specific sin that is weighing on you, I encourage you to avail yourself of the other option for confession and absolution, that is, to speak with me personally. I can listen to your confession and offer you God's words of absolution directly as if from God himself. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God does forgive you. Though your sins be like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord unto life everlasting. Amen.